Your brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These words ought to sound a little familiar. We heard them just a few moments ago. They are the words with which we begin every service here at Augsburg Emmanuel Lutheran Church. But they are much more than just words, as many of you already know. They are the very name of God. He is the triune God. Three distinct persons, but one divine being. Yet he is not three gods, but one God. So then why do we begin our worship in God's name? After all, God is with us no matter where we are. He is omnipresent. That is, he is everywhere among us and with us and everywhere that we could possibly be. And even in Scripture it says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. So why begin with those words of the invocation? Well, they are not so much words to invoke God to come necessarily. Yes, it's called the invocation, but it's not so much that he needs to come here. He's already here. It's for us to remember that he is here with us. Still, there is more reason than just that. We recognize that this is where God gives his gifts. This is where we hear his word from the lectern and the pulpit, and even in the liturgy and the hymns, we hear God's word. And here also we receive God's gifts, baptism and his son's body and blood in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins. Here we receive these means of grace, these means of conveying God's forgiveness from him to you. But again, let's focus on the name of God spoken a few minutes ago. God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He is one in unity among his three persons. This is the same kind of oneness for which our Lord Jesus prays for us in his high priestly prayer. And we just heard that a few moments ago from the gospel text from the lectern. We heard part of this prayer as our gospel text. As part of his duty as priest, Jesus would offer many prayers. He would give his disciples, his apostles, the Lord's Prayer that we use so often. And he would go off many times in the morning to pray by himself, to be in communion with his Father who is in heaven. In our gospel text, Jesus prays one of his final prayers before his betrayal by Judas. And he prays not only for his apostles, not only for those gathered around him at that time, but even for you, dear friends in Christ, even for those who would come to believe in later years. He prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus recognizes and prays for several relationships in that one petition. He prays that all of his disciples, from the apostles and disciples of that time, even to the ones today, that we would all be one. So what does it mean to be one with one another? Does it mean that we all have to be the exact same as one another? Well, no, we are each individuals, and that's the way that God made us to be. So what does it mean then? We are each members of one body, the bride of Christ, the church. In other words, we can become one by holding the same belief in common. We already do this as members of Augsburg Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We advertise weekend to weekend that we agree with the scriptures and how they are taught and presented through the confessions. We advertise that we believe that we are receiving the true body and true blood of Christ in with and under the bread and wine offered at this sacrament. We advertise that we believe, just as Jesus himself said, that this is my body and this is my blood. That is why we continue to come and hear the word and receive the means of grace. Our faith is not yet completed. We need to continue to hear that we may continue to be made one with one another. If you do not have that desire, look again at what Jesus prays. His desire that we would be one with one another, just as he is one with the Father. How close is Jesus in relationship to the Father and the Spirit? He is one with them. They are each immortal, divine, all-knowing, all-powerful, and they share every quality of God with each other. That is how close Jesus prays that we would be with each other as his bride, the church. Jesus prays that we would be one and that we would be in his Father and him. He doesn't pray, though, that we would be one with them. That is, that we would be the exact same as God. No, it is more like a marriage relationship. There's a bride and there's a groom, and they are made one in that relationship. And yet they are two separate individuals. They're two individuals, but one, just like God, the Father, Son, and Spirit are one and yet have three distinct persons. That is the kind of oneness that Jesus would have us to have with each other. So then our purpose is not to become God himself, but that we would be with him so that the world may believe that God the Father sent the Son. Jesus continues, "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." Here Jesus continues his prayer to the Father, saying that he has given to his church the glory that his Father had given to him. This glory would lead to the oneness of his Father, of his followers, both the apostles then and you today. As we continue to come and to hear the word and receive the sacrament together, we are being built together as the bride of Christ, as his church, in such a way that the world will have no choice but to recognize our oneness. So often, though, there are distractions and excuses for not coming and hearing God's word and being brought together as one. I don't even have to list them. You already know what they are. You already know what those distractions are. You know what those excuses are. And I'm not preaching only to those ones that aren't here this morning, but also to you. How often do you let those excuses or those distractions keep you from coming and hearing the word? Keep you from receiving the sacrament? Keep you from becoming one with one another? Repent of those times. Repent of those discursions, those distractions, and those excuses. This morning we heard in the adult Bible class from a sister who went to Madagascar. Did you know that there are more Christians in Madagascar than there are in the continental United States? I think she said something like 4 million in Madagascar and 2 million here in the United States. And that's talking about Christians, let alone just Lutherans. Lutherans and Christians in general are fewer in number here in the States than in Madagascar. We are not being brought together as one. Society, saying yes, our own sinful flesh, are winning against us, against the unity for which Jesus has called us and against which Jesus prayed for us to have in his high priestly prayer. But all is not lost. Rather, quite the opposite. Jesus has won the war. He has defeated our enemies. He has defeated sin, death, the devil, and even our own sinful flesh at the cross of Calvary. Following this prayer, following this text, John records for us that Jesus was taken away by Judas. He was betrayed by Judas and those officers, and then he was taken to the cross of Calvary. But he did not go unwillingly. No one can take his life from him, but rather he gave it up for you. He took away your sins in its entirety. Not just the times that you've missed church, not just the times that you've disobeyed your authorities. All sins have been paid for on the cross of Calvary for all time. Your sin, not in part, but in whole, has been taken away. Jesus died for you and he prayed for you. He prayed for the faith he would work in you through his Holy Spirit. He told his Father, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Though the world does not know God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you do, dear friends in Christ. You have received God's Spirit that you might be taught and made one through God's Word. God's Word is all about Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection for you, having been sent by the Father and having been made known to you through the Spirit. So what does it mean that a name has been made known? It is true that there are many names for God in the Scriptures, and yet one in particular stands out from this text. The name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. If God is not the triune God, then we don't have the Son. If we don't have the Son, we don't have forgiveness. We don't have access to the Father. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we don't have the faith to understand it. So it is that Jesus has made known to us the name of God. By coming into this world, he broke through the darkness of sin and brought his light. By his baptism, we hear how God the Father spoke as he was baptized in the River Jordan and how the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. In the Old Testament, there were many names given to God and the Messiah, who would be Jesus Christ. But it is only in the New Testament that Jesus, the very Son of God, is revealed. His name has been made known to us. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The name into which we use in every baptism, the name that we begin every service, and the name that we are by which we are saved, because it includes Jesus, the Son of God, who has taken away your sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.